Please open your Bibles now to Psalm 31. We've sung a good portion of it. Now let's read from this psalm and give some consideration to it tonight in our study. 31, a psalm of David. One of lament and calling out to the Lord, and yet there is also an element of praise in this psalm. Please give attention. This is God's holy word. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul, and you have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent and Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard my voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony of the psalmist who is being guided by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in communicating these words to us from you. We thank you for the expression of faith and hope in your unchanging and unfailing character. And Lord, as we open these scriptures and consider them together, we pray that your Spirit would open our hearts to their truths and apply them specifically in the areas of need that are represented here tonight. Grant utterance to me, Lord, that your word would be communicated with clarity and in truth. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. In our world today, many people are stressed out. The terminology goes, people are overwhelmed by life's circumstances to the point of breaking. Perhaps some of you here tonight are in the midst of stressful situations in life. Situations that are threatening your comfort level, threatening your sense of security, threatening your stability, emotionally perhaps even, in life. Our culture looks to man-centered solutions for stress. Our culture looks to solutions related to various avenues that center on man's ways, apart from God's ways and His truth. But I think what we see in this psalm, and what we see in the Scriptures, of course, is that real help and spiritual renewal will be found in the Lord. And it's as we surrender to the will of God, and as we seek His mercy through Jesus Christ, that we will find the calm in the midst of the storm in our lives, in the midst of the stress and the struggle that we find ourselves in at times. Psalm 31 is a psalm of trust. And it's a psalm of trust that grows out of lament, a crying out to God in the midst of difficulty and crisis. It is one of the longer psalms in this first section of the book of Psalms, with only Psalms 18 and 22 being longer in terms of the number of verses. But it shows that through crying out to God in faith, confidence is restored and deliverance comes, leading to praise. As the psalmist cries out to the Lord in faith, his confidence is strengthened, and God hears and provides deliverance and help, which leads to praise. The words of Psalm 31 are used by more than one other biblical character. I won't ask you to tell me who the individuals are. I'm sure one of them you could guess. But Jonah is one. In the book of Jonah, Jonah was in the belly of the fish. We have a reference to verse 6 when he says when he refers to those who regard vain idols. And we see that in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. In the book of Jeremiah, a phrase is repeated several times, and that is the phrase we find in verse 13. Terror is on every side. And Jeremiah repeats that a number of times in his book. Probably the most familiar, however, to us is Jesus' quotation of verse 5 on the cross when he says, just prior to his giving up his spirit, into your hand I commit my spirit. And we see his trust being expressed even at that hour of darkness. Well, as we work through this psalm, we see that it ebbs and flows with a crying out to God and expressions of trust. There are several sections, and the psalmist moves back and forth, crying out, expressing trust, crying out, expressing trust, and then concluding with praise and an application for God's people. We'll look at it tonight in two main parts, almost as if there were two different attacks, these two sections, and yet what we can really understand it to be are two rounds of wrestling with God in prayer. We see the first round in verses 1 through 8. It begins with a prayer for help in verses 1 through 5. And we might ask, well, if he's crying out for help, what is the nature of the threat that David is experiencing here? Well, we'll see that threat unfolded throughout the psalm, but here in verse 1, the concern is that he not be put to shame. And what that is suggesting is that his reputation is at stake, that his good name is being threatened, and that he could easily be discredited and destroyed in terms of his standing. We see later in verse 13 that a group of enemies is plotting together against David, and they're using slander against him, verse 13 says. Verse 18 says, lying lips are active, and accusing tongues, or tongues of strife, the strife of tongues, in verse 20. It's pride and contempt that is driving this assault, and they're seeking to destroy the good name of David. That is the threat that seems to be stressing him, if you will, in this psalm. And so David calls upon the Lord in this first section. And his petitions are filled with language that brings to mind his many adventures and escapes, if you will. And we looked at some of those detailed in Psalm 18, you'll recall, as he reviews how God was faithful to deliver him in many different situations. So while he seeks the Lord with this great intensity, there is also strong trust evidenced here and throughout the psalm. He recognizes that the Lord was his deliverer in past trials and battles, and he prays now based upon that confidence, using military metaphors, which describes his confidence in God's power to save in the present circumstance. Well, he calls on God to be a rock of strength and a stronghold in verse 2. And then he turns around and confesses in verse 3 that God is his rock and his fortress. So we see here he has confidence in the fact that God indeed is a protector for his people. But then he says, "Be that rock to me." And that's indicating his desire for God to act on his behalf in this circumstance. He also indicates that God is his strength who saves him from the net of his enemies in verse 4. And so we can picture David here fleeing from King Saul, for example. We're not saying that that's the circumstance that he's facing, but as he reflects back on times past, how he was fleeing in the wilderness and how he was seeking shelter in the rocky hills of the Judean mountains. We know that out in the open flatlands he would have been very vulnerable, but in the mountains he found safety, and ultimately we know that safety was God who was his refuge. And so he would go into the cliffs and into the caves, and those were a fortress to him. And of course God is the one who shielded him from Saul and other enemies who pursued him during those times. The Lord was his refuge. That's what he calls to mind now as he's petitioning the Lord. And note also the grounds for hope that David has. It is in the Lord's righteousness that David seeks deliverance in verse 1. It's God's covenant faithfulness rather than based upon David's ability to persuade God or to appeal to him in his prayer. But it's in righteousness he prays that God would act. He also calls on the Lord for his name's sake. So there's a reputation at stake. God's reputation. He doesn't pray to him on the basis of David's own good name, but on the basis of God's good name that he would act. And in verse 5 he trusts in the Lord to answer because the Lord has ransomed him or redeemed him. He doesn't plead based upon his own personal claim of innocence, but he claims the fact that God has made him his own possession, that he has redeemed him, he has ransomed him, and on that basis he is precious and asks that God would act on his behalf. Well, believers throughout history have repeated the expression of trust that David gives in verse 5. And we've noted earlier how Jesus used that on the cross. But that phrase, "into your hand I commit my spirit," has been a tremendous comfort to know that God holds us even at the point of death and will bring us into his presence eternally. John Huss was one who quoted those words. He was a martyr for Christ 100 years before Luther sparked the Reformation by nailing the 95 Theses to the door on the church in Wittenberg. But in 1415, he was condemned to die by the bishop. And the statement made by the bishop reportedly was this: "Now we commit thy soul to the devil." That was the statement of the bishop as he was being condemned. And Huss calmly replied with these words: "I commit my spirit into thy hands, Lord Jesus Christ. Unto thee I commend my spirit, which thou hast redeemed." That is the confidence that we have. If we are the redeemed in Jesus Christ, we're his own possession. We've been ransomed by the precious blood of his Son, and we know that he'll keep us even at the point of death, as we are delivered into his presence. And that's the kind of trust that David is expressing here as he is crying out to God, as he's praying to the Lord in the midst of this distress. Verses 6 to 8 move into a second section or stanza, and they contain a clear profession of this trust that he's already been expressing in these prayer requests or these petitions, along with an expectation of praise. David doesn't ally himself with those who trust in vain idols, but his trust is in the Lord. Those who worship false gods are in rebellion against the living God, his Redeemer. And so David stands opposed to them as well, as he is united to the living God in a saving way. And out of his trust then comes the hope of deliverance. In crying out to the Lord, he reflects with confidence upon the care of God in the past, and his heart is encouraged, and he rejoices in the covenant love of God. He's assured that the Lord is aware of his plight and that he will save. He sees that situation that David is in, and he will indeed act on his behalf. That's the confidence that he's expressing here. Rather than being taken captive by the enemy, the Lord has set David's feet in a broad place. That's just an indication of a place of safety, a place of freedom from attack. And that's the expectation that David has, even as he anticipates praising God in the midst of these petitions. But it is the recognition of past rescue that produces this present confidence in the Lord as he prays. And that is a lesson that we need to take to heart as well. We've noted that in previous Psalm studies. But one of the ways that we can defeat fear and anxiety in our lives is by meditating and reflecting on God's past faithfulness as we petition him in the present circumstances of distress that we face. Well, that leads us to the second round that we have here recorded in verses 9 through 22. Second round of petition and crying out to the Lord. And in verses 9 to 13, we really have what is at the heart of this psalm, the heart of the lament that David pours out before God. And it describes his isolation and rejection, which he is experiencing. Again, the cause relates to this conspiracy, this group of attackers that have bound themselves together against David, as verse 13 indicates. And the slander and the lies that they are generating are starting to get to David. In fact, it's affecting him physically. Inwardly, his distress is so great that he is beginning to crumble physically. His body seems to be deteriorating due to his concern. His eye wastes away from all the crying. His life is spent with sorrow. His strength has failed. His body is wasting away. Perhaps you've been in circumstances where the stress was that great, as you were facing the affliction, as you were facing the threats, that it began to affect you physically. We also see that his distress has affected his outward relationships. He's become a reproach. He is rejected by even his close neighbors who flee from him. He's forgotten. He's slandered. It seems as if he is surrounded by enemies. And so we see his relationships even being affected by this slander that was taking place as his reputation was undermined. And so this is the heart of his cry to God as he describes his isolation and rejection. But then in verses 14 to 18, David again professes faith, even in the midst of these bleak circumstances. Rather than pining away in despair, what does he do? He turns his attention to the Lord. And rather than focusing upon his enemies and being consumed with fear and destroyed by anxiety, he recalls his certain hope in the Lord. Verse 14 declares that faith. He says, "I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." That's where he stands in the midst of the affliction and trial. You are my God. It is the Lord who holds David's times in his hand, not these enemies. They are not in control. It is the Lord God who holds his times in his hands. His circumstances are not left to chance. They are not left to the power of the wicked. And so peace comes to David with the knowledge that God is in control. He is sovereign over this situation. Verse 16 goes on to recall a portion of the Aaronic benediction. Make your face to shine upon your servant David, prays. In contrast to the scornful looks of the enemy, what does he desire? The shining face, the favor of the living God, to shower peace, to shower shalom, blessing upon his servant, to grant him in his mercy salvation or to deliver him. So he prays for the gracious face of his heavenly Father to shine upon him. And then in verses 17 and 18, he petitions the Lord to silence the evil words of the wicked who shame him, that they will instead be put to shame. In other words, that their secret plots will be exposed, that they will receive a just reward for their attacks and their assaults. They will be dealt with justly. But what we see here is that David, in the midst of this attack, in the midst of this distress, finds peace. He gains peace. That it's a peace that is available for all of God's redeemed. Because we know that our times are in His hands. Think about that. All of our times. The naive days of our youth are in His hands. The successes and failures of our mature life are in His hands. And when our strength fades in old age, those times are in His hands. Nothing surprises the living God. All of our days have been ordained by Him. And for believers in Christ, we know that nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's peace for those who are in Him as we reflect upon His sovereign care of us. Verses 19 to 22 then indicate that the Lord has indeed heard David because they present an offering of praise up to the Lord. David declares, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men." And so he begins on a note of general praise for God's intimate care and protection of His children who take refuge in Him. And he uses metaphors for protection in verse 20 that reflect the life of a fugitive, one who has been fleeing, who has been pursued for his life. And so we see him saying, "You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues." That's a fugitive who has sought these types of security. But really it's God who's the one who shelters. He's the one who makes secure His people who are fleeing, who are experiencing the assaults of those opposed to God. And so there's this general praise expressed. But then he also offers specific praise as he reflects on his own experience of deliverance. Verse 21, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has made marvelous His loving kindness to me in a besieged city." He recognizes that God has specifically acted on his behalf. And in praising God, David underlines then the importance of waiting upon the Lord. What is the temptation for us in the midst of this kind of distress, in the midst of the pressure of assault and attack and threat? It's to panic, is it not? To be overwhelmed with fear, to be overwhelmed with anxiety to the point that we can't even think straight. And in fact, that was the case for David in the midst of this distress. He testifies, "As for me, I said in my alarm, I'm cut off before your eyes." We begin to jump to all kinds of false conclusions when we panic. And yet he comes back to realize the truth that is rooted in his relationship with the living God. "Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you." God heard his cry, and he protected David from the assaults that threatened to destroy his reputation. And he will not turn a deaf ear to you, his redeemed child. He will not turn a deaf ear to you when you cry in your distress, when you call upon Him. Don't panic. Wait upon the Lord. Trust in His care. Trust that He will hear and that He will keep his children. That's the testimony of David. Well, that leads us to the final couple of verses. The psalm concludes with a corporate application. There's a general call to all the godly to take courage and to renew their hope in the Lord. David says, "Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer." In other words, God's help is for all of the redeemed, not just David. He's not describing a unique situation that happened to him. He's speaking about the way that God deals with all of his people as we face the challenges and the distresses of life. His love extends not only to David, but all who by faith have entered into a covenant relationship with him. The Lord faithfully preserves his children. He's faithful to his covenant people. Now, that doesn't mean we'll have no trouble in this life. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He will supply the strength to meet that need in that trouble. That is the confidence that we have in this psalm. And so the conclusion is, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. It's a courage that is rooted in our union with Jesus Christ once more. It's rooted in our relationship with the Redeemer, our covenant God, our covenant Lord. Be strong and take courage in Him. Are you facing a stressful situation in your life? Don't allow yourself to be destroyed by worry and anxiety. Look to the Lord as David did. Our salvation is secure in Him. In the midst of those temporary and light afflictions of this life, we can be certain that the Lord will not forsake us. In fact, He is preserving us for an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Paul asserts in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day." Do you know when Paul wrote those words? Probably about very near the time he would be executed. 2 Timothy was the last book that he wrote, and he was in prison and he was near death. And yet he is confident that God is able to guard what He has entrusted to him for that day. And so we need to heed the words of the psalmist in Psalm 55, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." And remember that David looked ahead to a Savior that was still in the shadows of Old Testament prophecy. We look back on the finished, triumphant work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's laid His life down on the cross, who's risen again from the dead victoriously for us. We have much reason to take courage, to resist Satan's schemes, to trust in the Lord as we meditate on the loving kindness and faithfulness that He has towards His people. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the testimony of David. We thank You for the way that You indeed protect and keep Your people. We confess, Father, in the midst of difficulty, that we are tempted to panic in our distress. And we ask Your forgiveness for our weak faith. Lord, that You'd help us to take our eyes off our enemies and off the difficulties around us and fix them on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, that You would sustain us by Your mighty right hand, that You would remind us that our times are in that mighty hand, and that You will preserve us through this life and into eternity. Father, give courage to those tonight who are in the midst of this crucible of difficulty. Grant them Your peace, which surpasses all understanding. Sustain them with the confidence that You are their Redeemer, that You will indeed deliver and preserve them. And Father, grant us encouragement to testify and to sing Your praise, even as David did, that all those around us might also be encouraged to be strong in the Lord and take comfort in Him. Lord, bless us now in the week ahead. Strengthen us for the work that you have given to us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.